Okay, so what we've seen so far is this idea of a stochastic process. So our randomness is evolving in time. And just talking about it, it's hopefully apparent that it's fairly complex. Okay. And so what we want to do is put some constraints on the types of processes that we're looking at in order to sort of reduce that complexity. And so what we're going to consider first is the notion of a Markov chain. And this will have some processes, this properties that make it at least somewhat easier to work with. And we'll start with a process, and then a chain is just a constraint on that. It's just a special case of that process. Okay, so a Markov process is a stochastic process, X of T, with the Markov property, which is that the probability that X of Tn less than Xn, conditioned on our previous n values, is the same as the probability of X of Tn less than or equal to Xn, conditioned on our one immediately prior value. Okay. And that has to hold for all states Xi in our state space and for all time sequences. And so what you can think of it is the probability of, if you fix a state, then the probability of going to another state is fixed regardless of how you got into your state. Okay. So we say that the Markov process is memoryless. Because again, you don't need to worry about the entire history of what's going on. Just your current state is sufficient. So this probability is going to form a CDF for our next state. So that's 1 plus. We're going to consider a further constraint, and that is that the time dependence should be limited to a dependence on the difference of time, the difference of time between state xtn minus 1 and the difference between time tn minus 1 and tn. Okay. So that further says that, you know, if we happen to land in any state at any given time, then the distribution for the next, for what goes on next, is the same. This process is referred to, or this property is referred to as homogeneity. So if a process has that property, then we call it a homogeneous process. So, Markov chains limit our Markov processes to ones that occur with discrete state spaces. And, again, these are the ones that we're going to be interested in. If you think about your arrival process or any sort of queuing that will occur in a network, it's essentially counting up and counting down, so a discrete state space. Okay, they don't have to have discrete state spaces, but that's a complication that we can eliminate because the things that we're going to be interested in will have discrete state spaces. So we can have either a continuous or a discrete time Markov chain, and the ones we're interested in will be continuous time, so we can't completely eliminate all of our complexity. Okay. What does the discrete state space bias? Well, we can explicitly assign our probabilities to our states. So the probability of XTN is in some state J, conditioned on your whole evolution or some observed evolution, is the same as the probability in state J given the last state observed. Okay, if we do consider discrete time Markov chains, then we will look at them because it's easier for us mentally to think about them. And, so we can look at a discrete time case and then sort of extrapolate to a continuous time case. Then our time becomes just n 1, 2, 3, from 0, 1, 2, 3 on. And so we are exactly in the previous state or conditioned upon the previous state we were in. Okay. So, again, the distinction between this and the last is that we can assign a probability mass function or a conditional probability mass function. Okay, so to look at an example, we can again get back to our coin tossing. And so here we add 2 points if we observe a head and 1 point for a tail. And can this be described as a Markov chain? And is it homogeneous? Okay. So the state space is going to be all your possible scores, and so that's just going to be some number 1 through infinity maybe. And if we have a current score, so our current score is 10, 20, then we can define our probability of moving into the next state space. Okay. And so you either, you have a current score. If you flip ahead, you add 2. And the probability of that is 1/2. If you have a tail, then you add 1. And the probability of that is 1/2. So if our current score is J, then we know our next score has to be either J plus 1 or J plus 2. And there's probably 1/2 of either of those. Okay. So it is a Markov process. We can express our probabilities conditioned only on the one prior state. Okay. It's a discrete state space, so we've defined a Markov chain. And the possible values of the state do not depend on the time at which the state changes, so the process is homogeneous, discrete time, and a Markov chain. So we've set our discrete time Markov chain has this property that the probabilities we can assign a PMF, and it's, you know, again, dependent only on your prior state. And so we can start to use that to try and examine how do we arrive at our PMFs. Okay. So Xn is equals J is indicates that the event the process is in the state J at time n. So it's after n transitions, you're in state J. Okay, and what you can think is the probability of being in state J at time n can be built up from knowing the probability of being in state J at time n, given you were in some previous state, and then the probabilities of that previous state. Okay. Also, the probability, we can say that the probability of being in state J, given we were in state I, is the probability of transitioning from state I into state J in a single step. Okay, and we've already said that that's, since the thing's homogeneous, that happens, doesn't matter what time that happens at. Okay. So what we have is one step transitions. Okay. So we give our one-step transition probabilities a special notation. Generally, if time n matters, we say it's Pij at n. If we have a homogeneous system, then n ceases to matter. And so we have a probability, just once we're in state I, we have some probability of transitioning to state J. We call that Pij. Okay. Should be doing that. Okay. So we can gather together all of our possible transition probabilities into a transition probability matrix. And so naturally the rows are the current state, and the columns are the next state possible. So you have the probability of transition from 0 to 0, probability of transition from 0 to 1, etc. Okay. So the ith row, again, is the probability of transitioning out of a state I. If we, again, include within that the possibility that you remain, so PII, then has to sum to 1, so you have to go somewhere, either remain or go out to another state. There's no such interpretation for entering into a state. Okay. So again, if we look at our game, then what's our probability matrix? So we don't remain because there's no assignment of 0. So if we get ahead, we move up 2. If we get a tail, we move up 1. So we start at the score of 0, and we either go to 1 or 2 with equal probability. If we're in state 1, then we go to 2 or 3 with equal probability. In state 2, we go to 3 or 4 with equal probability. And so, well, so far this is just nice notation, but the idea of these PIJs, they should look fairly nice and like we could do something with them. Okay. So that essentially gives us a single step. And what can happen in one step? So we can ask what can happen in multiple steps. So what's the probability of transitioning from I to J through a step K? Okay. And what we'll see is that that's the probability that you transition from I into K times the probability you go from K to J. So that makes perfect sense. Okay. So what's the probability of any set of two-step transitions? That's just the sum over all, or what's the probability of transitioning from I to J in two steps, I should say. It's just the sum over all probability of transitions taking any given intermediate state. Okay. And furthermore, we can build things up recursively. So we can calculate an m-step transition probability from I to J just by it's the probability of arriving at over all different states. You can get to K in m minus 1 steps, and then from K to J. And this is what's called the Chapman-Kolmogorov equation. Okay. So, in terms of our matrix notation, then these entries fall out of a matrix multiplication. So our two-step probabilities is just P times P, and our M step is P M times. Okay. And additionally, we can split up that transition in any way we want. M steps can be, you know, M minus 1 to P, or M minus N steps, and then an additional N step. So we can split that up anywhere we want. Okay. So this is going to... This is leading to us being able to say something about our distributions at any given time. Okay. And so the probability of the process being in state I after n steps, we call that pi I sub n to the n, pi I n, is the probability that xn equals I. And obviously, what we really like to say is, well, we've got a whole state space, so we've got some discrete number of states. What's the probability distribution of being in any one of those states? Okay. So, again, if we take that a step at a time, after one step, well, you have the probability you were originally in state K times the probability of moving K to I, and you're going to sum that up over all of your possible values. And again, we can use a vector notation and say that pi 1 is pi 0 times P. Okay. Where now pi 0 is an initial state distribution. And we can continue on constructing our pi's for any number of steps. So again, this has given us some way of writing down in an iterative or recursive fashion what our probability distributions are. Again, making the assumption that we have a homogeneous Markov chain. So, at any time n, we can start with pi 0 and just apply our probability matrix n times. Okay. And so, this is giving us a transient solution, which means that it's dependent on pi 0 and changing with time. What we'd like to, the next thing, so this gives us a nice way of writing that down. The next thing we'd like to know is there a stationary distribution as time goes on? So, eventually, those pi n look like pi n minus 1. Okay. And if we know that pi n equals pi n minus 1 to the p, as n goes to infinity, if such a distribution exists, we will end up with pi equals pi to the p. Pi times our matrix P. Okay. So, under what conditions can we do that? And so we're back to our chain needing to be both ergodic and homogeneous. Okay. If it is those two things, then this will work. If we add a condition that our probabilities have to sum to 1, so it's not unreasonable, then solving this will give a unique equation. Okay. So if we continue with our coin example, so we're if a head turns up, we add 2 to our score. A tail turns up, we add 1. And so we can calculate the probability that the player's score is at least 4 points, having tossed the coin 3 times. So that's, you can figure out the transient distribution after 3 coin tosses, and then analyze that. Okay, so we already wrote down what our probability matrix was, and we start out in a state of with a score of 0, so that pi 0 is 1. We're in state 0 with probability 1, and we can apply our P, our transition matrix, 3 times. Okay. And so here we have score of 0, score of 1, score of 2, score of 3, and continuing on. Okay.
Sorry. Is there any way you can explain better how you derive the matrix?
The matrix, we've looked at how we derive the matrix P, but again, think about what it is. It's the probability of moving from state I to state J in one step. Okay. So if we take this first line, this is state 0, so it's saying our score is 0. In one step, what happens? We flip a coin. Our score moves either to 1 or 2. Equal probability of either. So this is P 0, 1. So it's the probability of going from 0 to 1 is a half. That means you flip the tail. And this is P 0, 2. Means probably going from 0 to 2, which means you flipped ahead. Okay. Similarly, P 1, so your score is currently 1, you either go to 2 or 3, right? So this is P 1, 2, that means you flipped a tail and only added 1. This is P 1, 3, means you flipped ahead, and you got 2, so that's how you get that. Okay, and so we don't have to sort of calculate the rest of these, because this is the probability of being 3 or less. And so 4 or more is 1 minus that. So that's our transient. And so will this have a steady state solution? sorry, a stationary solution. Brave. Okay. What stationary solution says is that eventually the okay, actually, let me think about this. Actually, it does. Okay. Yeah.
Except it would have the same distribution that we served up in mind, the uh-huh. distribution, and
yeah.
do the same tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's more as you evolve, will the distribution be the same? Yeah, actually, you know, it's stationary means that, let's see, what, losing the plot here. Okay. So, I'll return to that. Okay, so if we had to look at a second example, again, what we'd like is to calculate equilibrium probabilities. So we'd like, as we go to infinity, to calculate what's the likelihood of being in any of three cities, given some probability of transitioning between the cities. Okay, so we can trace our transient behavior. So we have to start in one of the three cities, and we can see what happens. And then we can see what happens as time goes to infinity. Okay. So again, we can take our probabilities of transition, put them in a matrix, and we want to solve for our equilibrium probabilities. So we just set pi equal to pi p, add our third equation, and solve. Okay. If we do that, well, we get these probabilities. So what that means is that over time, it doesn't matter when we observe our system, you're going to have a certain, you're going to have the same likelihood of being in any given city. Okay, so you can put that in vector notation if you want. Okay, and so you can see what happens then from a transient point of view. And again, if you can calculate, you know, so you start out in any given state, and what you see is that over time you're moving closer and closer to your equilibrium distribution. Okay. So, we see that we're getting, so no matter where we start, we're sort of converging on a single distribution, and you know, that's a characteristic of an ergodic process. Okay, so that's a discrete state space setup, and what we've seen is that we can, if our system is stationary and ergodic, we can settle on a specific distribution. But as we said, while it's a discrete time and discrete space, the systems that we're going to be interested in are continuous time systems. And so what we'll see, we started with the discrete time because it's easier to think about. What we'll see is we can go through an analogous sort of procedure for continuous time and try and arrive at, again, a way of deriving our steady state distribution. Okay. So what makes it hard? Well, obviously, because you can change from state to state at any time. Okay. So this is our Markov. The definition of a Markov chain is the probability of being in state J at time Tn is dependent only on the probability of being in state J at time Tn, given all your histories, only depends on your latest, you know, the last observed state. Okay. So, again, this is sort of analogous to our transition probabilities, with the problem being that, again, you can have a sort of infinite number of transitions between any two points. Okay. So, we're going to assume that our chain is homogeneous. And in that way, we can pin time down to a time difference. Okay, it's only sort of, it doesn't matter at what time you enter a state. It's just the how long you persist in the state. Okay. Unfortunately for us, that's still a function of t. Okay. So, again, we can think of sort of having any number of intermediate points in that, or allowing you to transit from I to J. Okay. So, What that means is that the probability that he turns it from I to J after time T can again be broken up sort of in the middle at sort of at any point. And so it's the probability of going from I to K at time T prime, and then from K to J at time T prime, minus T prime from at time T prime to T. Okay. So we can define the probability of being in any state at a time T as pi I of T is the sum pi j of T pi I and times our initial state. Okay, or using a vector matrix notation. Okay. So this relates our this allows us to generate our distribution at any given time based on our transition probabilities. Again, the only problem with that is that they're all dependent on T, and so that's going to be problematic. Okay, so what we do is we move from considering explicit probabilities to considering state transition rates. So we consider the rate at which we're moving from state, one state to another, and this rate then is not going to be dependent on time. Okay. And so we can be able to generate these rates. Think about the state transition over a very short amount of time, so a delta t. And then obviously the rate you approximate by the transition over the short amount of time divided by the amount of time, and take the limit as t goes to zero. And you get, again, you get this rate, the rate at which you're transitioning out of one state and into the next. So, in the previous case with the probabilities, we said they all had to sum to 1. With the rates, what we need is for the rates to sum to 0. So, you balance off the rate of going from I into some other state using the essentially the rate of staying in the state. So you balance it off with the sum of the rates from I to J is minus QII. What that means is that your rate sums are going to stay at zero, or the sum of all your rates is going to be zero. So if you look at that in terms of probabilities, well, this small time space, you either stay in or leave, so that is your sum LPI, J is equal to 1. And again, if you apply your divide by delta T and apply your limit, that's where you'll end up with your rate factor. Okay. So, if we go back to our Chapman-Kolmogorov equations and try to plug this all in, we end up with the derivative of our probability of transition, so the change in time is equal to, well, where can you transition and what's the rate of that transition. So that's it's a transformation of Chapman-Kolmogorov. And if we then put it on the footing of what we had previously, differentiating, which one's 5? The previous equation, so these will be our PIJ T terms, or this is our probability of being in any given state. Okay, so we, if you differentiate that, you end up with this D PIJ T term, which is in terms of rates. And what we see is that the derivative of pi j, so the derivative of our distribution, is in terms of our rate matrix, can be in terms of our, is now defined in terms of our rates. Okay. Now, again, in vector form, what that says is that our, if we differentiate all our terms, then that's equal to our term times our rate matrix. And so that's analogous to what we had before. Our probability was equal to our distribution was equal to our distribution times our probability matrix. Okay. And so what we see we've done is that we had our P of T was time dependent, but we managed through the rates to get rid of the time dependency. Okay. So we can use this. This is a set of linear differential equations. We can use it to solve, at least theoretically, our transient solution, which may or may not be easy. And we'll also see in certain cases we can use it to arrive at a steady state solution as well. Okay, so that's sort of teeing up the main sort of process that we're really interested in, which is the birth-death process. And what we'll see next week is that for birth-death processes, we'll be able to handle these in a, we'll be able to find our transient solutions reasonably easily. Okay. And the properties that we'll rely on is that if the chain is ergodic, we have a stationary distribution. And what that means is that as time goes on, that distribution stops changing. And so our derivative is going to be zero. And so we can solve for our distribution by setting our pi times q equal to zero. Okay. And in order to find a unique solution, again, you're going to have to require it to sum up to one. Okay, so that's sort of moving us in the direction that we want to be going in. Next week, I think I will continue on with this instead of starting on simulation, so we'll defer simulation for one more week. We'll look at, again, next week, birth-death models, and that will allow us to start deriving our first sort of queuing results, so getting down to something a bit more concrete. So that's all for today, and have a good weekend, and I'll see you guys next week.